Good morning, we're Masechet Shabbat, and today, please God, we will finish the Masechet of Kuf Nun Zayin. So it's a bit of a simcha. We'll have a couple of other simchas. David Barnett's father Cyril's 83rd birthday today, so Blian Rai's second bar mitzvah, so mazel tov. It's also Mervyn Isaacson's birthday today, so mazel tov. And we're starting at the bottom of Kuf Nun Varamud Bet. Right, so we had yesterday, we saw in the Gemara, we said, let me cut the pumpkins and the cocks if I to the animals and the dogs. We would have said only if the nevela was ready from Erev Shabbos. Right? Otherwise it's Asuk who wasn't in Amuchan. And then we sort of like had like a bit of a numbers game. The Gemara brought a list of Amoraim who agreed with Rabbi Yehuda that you had to Amuchan. And we start off, we brought there Ula, Rav, and Levi, all agree halachot like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara brought proofs. And then the Gemara said as well, and then we started counting who supports Rabbi Shimon, which means Rani Min HaMuchan, right? In other words, it isn't Muktzah. Remember, we've had this whole machloket running through. I appreciate you keeping your camera on, Robert, for the last stuff of Masechet Shabbos. Didn't go unnoticed. I've lost my train of thought now. Right, that we had this whole machloket through the whole of Masechet Shabbos.
Talking about how I keep my camera on.
About Masechet Shabbos between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to see where the end of in the next daf. We'll see it again. But and remember that the couple of machlokot with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda there was, where there was Muktzah, we had Bina Muchan, then we had Davasha and Amit Kaveh, and we had Melocha Shad Shechel Gufa. All those things, Muktzah, right? All those halachas were between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. See how the Gemara is saying that these Amorim all hold halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara says, no, Ushmuel Amar alachak Rabbi Shimon. And then Avzeiri also says, Zeiri alachak Rabbi Shimon. We brought a proof over there of the amazing. The Gemara comes in now and brings Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Mahalachak Rabbi Shimon. And that's where we ended off yesterday. So we saw basically three against three. Three Amoraim against three Amoraim. It's Aloch like Rabbi Huda, or is the Aloch like Rabbi Shimon. Right? Now the Gemara says like this. And this is a question we've seen asked Rabbi Yochanan a couple of times already in the Masechta. Umi am Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Rabbi Yochanan really say that. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's the question there? Why are we asking that question? The Gemara says, "V'ha Rabbi Yochanan alachak istam mishnah." Rabbi Yochanan said, "No, halacha as a rule is like a stam mishnah." In other words, what's a stam mishnah? And we've seen it as well. But I found a nice Likutei Rashi over here, where he brings up here a stam mishnah. It's a Gemara in Beitza. Look at the very last Likutei Rashi on the stuff. You've got an art scroll. It says the halachak istam mishnah. Rabbi who sider hamishnah says Rashi. Rabbi was organized the mishnayot. And he saw the words of a chacham, one of the Tanaim, and he agreed with what he said. He thought this was the right halacha. This is correct what he's saying. Shana'an Stam, he never wrote his name there. It's amazing this. Just wrote it Stam, the other name. V'loi skir shem omro alehen. Why? K'dei shelo yehu shnuya mipi yachid. If it's a dat yachid, it's a Rimei, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, lo meshanehu. If he puts a dot, a tana there, people say, ah, that's a dot yachid. Now you'll start finding other opinions that are different to this dot yachid. And you'll say, Acher Rabbim La'atot, there's more people who agree with him and therefore would ignore the dot of the yachid. So everybody said, you know what? Leave out names. The Rambam, by the way, when he wrote the Rambam, he did a similar thing. He writes an introduction to Yad HaChazakah and he didn't bring the names of people. He didn't want to stop machloket. One of the ideas was as well. The Rambam, when he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot, did a very similar idea to Rebbe. In the Rambam, there's no, and Rabbi Huda said, Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Yitzchak said, just halocha. Okay, so he didn't introduce names, so he wouldn't get into machlokot. He pasked halocha as stam halocha. It was following exactly what Rabbi Huda did in the Mishnah. So now, the Gemara says, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that the halocha is like Rabbi Shimon? That the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say halacha is a stam mishnah? In other words, any place where Rabbi wrote it stam, like we said over there, that's the halacha. And lav dafke like Rabbi Shimon or like Rabbi Yehuda, like the stam mishnah. Whoever the mishnah is at the time, that Rabbi Yehuda paskin, and therefore we wouldn't have a cross the board halacha. right? It's not, and he brings a Mishnah over here. We learned in the Mishnah. And we start now at Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, the last Daf of Masechet Shabbat. Right, it says, Ein mevak'in etzim min hakorot. You can't chop wood from the beams. See now a minute what's going on over here. V'lo min hakora shenishbara v'yom tov. Right, what does the Mishnah say? That you can't take wood. Look at Rashi. So'a shel hakorot amuktzot v'sdot lebinyan. If you've got beams that were set aside on the side of the road, on the side of the building site, whatever the case is, and those are going to be used now for building, Erev Shabbos, they were nicely, neatly packed on the side of the road for building purposes, not set aside for firewood, not yontif. You can't go and chop that wood up for yontif. It's muktzah, right? And neither can you take from a korah, a beam in a house, shenishbara b'yomtov. Look at Rashi, v'lo min hakorah, hayeshana shenishbara yomtov. There's an old beam, and it broke today on yontif. Right? In other words, it wasn't mukhan yesterday. Yesterday wasn't broken. You weren't going to light it yesterday. And now suddenly it's arrived for fire. It wasn't yesterday. The Mishnah says asur. Why? Hoyil ubein ashmashot lo itchan lahachi. Ben ashmashot, Erev Shabbos. It wasn't good for that. Therefore, there's muktzah. And we see that the Stam Mishnah was like that. And therefore we see Rabbi Yochanan telling us Halachos Kestam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah supports Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't support Rabbi Shimon. Because it's muktzah. So the Gemara has a kind of interesting answer. He says, no, Rabbi Yochanan, hahu k'Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda matnila. Unbelievable answer. In Rabbi Yochanan's version of that Mishnah, it wasn't a Stam Mishnah. That Mishnah was taught in the name of Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. And therefore, we can't prove anything here about Rabbi Yochanan being a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan paskan locha there. The halacha there was Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. It wasn't a Stam Mishnah. Right? So therefore, we can't really prove that he sort of supported that Mishnah. It wasn't called a Stam Mishnah. He supported that Mishnah because Rabbi Yochanan supported Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. We're also another Kash Rabbi Yochanan. Toshma. We've got another brighter here. We've seen this brighter before as well. On Daf Lamed Aleph. Matchilin bar Yamata Tevin avalo ba'etim shebe muktzeh. Right, the muktzeh here is a specific place. Rashi explained in a minute. Matchilin, what's mean matchilin? Lahasik barevat ha-tevim. You start on yontif now, you start burning your fuels there. So you start lighting the fire from the bundles of hay. Look at Rashi. Kesak da'atach, the tivne sariya de stame la'asaka. We're assuming Avi Rashi says, talking about spoiled tevim, not good for eating, and therefore it is set aside for burning. So it's actually mukhan for burning. Avalo ba'etzim shebe muktzeh, but not in the etzim. What's etzim shebe muktzeh? She'nicham rechava she'acharei beito. You've got this like storage area behind your house, the backyard. Ve'hiktzam limot astav, and you left them there. That wood is there for the autumn months. Right? Rashi says muktzeh rechava she'acharei batim. It's an opening, a wide area, gathering the courtyard behind your house. She'hiktza acharei beito lachnisham davar leotzar. It's like a story. So we see them. What's the brightness saying? The stuff which is min ha-mukhan you can use for fire, and which is not min ha-mukhan you can't use for fire. So we see again over here that we've got over here a stam which is telling us it is muktzah. So Gemara says, no, that's not a proof either, because hatam ba'arzei va'ashuche. What are we speaking about there? We're talking about arzei va'ashuche. Interesting over here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says arzei va'ashuche, says erez zachar ve'erez nekeva. And the two different types of cedar trees, the male cedar tree and the female cedar tree, she'omdin lebinyan, and they're very big and they're good and strong wood, and those are set aside there for building purposes. So therefore, they're not really mukhan for fire, right? So it says there, and that is muktze machmat chisaron kis. Remember this? We're starting to do a bit of chazora now on the musagim of Shabbos. That's muktze machmat. What's a chisaron kis? Which is very expensive and it might come to be damaged. So therefore we said it's muktzah. Right? And the Gemara said like this. Afilu Rabbi Shimon Modeh. And there Rabbi Shimon would agree with Chisaron Kis. So this is no proof whatsoever that Rabbi Yochanan's holding like Rabbi Yehuda. It could easily be like he's holding like Rabbi Yochanan. Like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would agree with muktzah machmat Chisaron Kis. Now we'll see in a second, not everybody agrees with that. Gemara says Toshma, another Kashina. So now we've got another brighter over here. right, on Rabbi Yochanan again, right? We still try to prove that Rabbi Yochanan, there are brighters here, which are stam brighters, the nipaskins like them, and mashkin, v'shochatin amidbar. Remember this, we looked at this Gemara as well, on daf mem hay. So it says over here that with regards to, you know, when you want to shecht an animal on yontif, so in order to flay it, you like water it, and it becomes easy to get the skin off. Then what's over here? Ain mashkin v'shochatin amidbariot. You can't water. Look at Rashi. Ain mashkin urche de miltenach. I said just to stam it, the way things were done. Mishum sirche de mashcha shu nochel afshit. It's easier to flay the animal by doing that. So therefore you can't water the animal. Or shecht, what animals? Midbariot. What are midbariot? Look at Rashi. Shiraot be'efer tamid v'lanot b'toch hatchum. So they're around, he says, but they're outside. They're not domesticated. But you can water or shech the domestic ones. So it seems over here that again, if they're outside, they aren't domesticated, they aren't minamuchan. And if we see again, there's mukta. There's a brighter. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue about this one. So we see there, Rabbi Yochanan holds it. It could be mukta. Tirmur says, no. Rabbi Yochanan, stam achrina ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan has another stam brighter, also bestam, that disagrees with this brighter, and he holds like that stam brighter. And that stam brighta allows mukta, right? And what's that stam brighta? We've seen this Gemara as well. On the Kuf Mem Gimel, so not so long ago, about 10 days ago, we learned the Gemara. Beit Shama Omrim Magbein Marashulchan Atzamot V'Klipin. Beit Shama said you can clean the table on Shabbos. You can take the bones and the peels of the nuts, etc. Not a problem. Ubehila Omrim Masaleket Tabla Kula Menara. Ubehila says no, you can't do that. It's mukta. You're going to take off the whole tablecloth and shake it out. You can't touch the actual bones and the peels. Right? And Rav Nachman says it's the other way around. Beit Hillel is the one who we pass in halacha like, which says you can actually touch the bones and the peels, the nut skins, whatever you call them. Right? And we all, it's quite interesting over here, that when the Gemara says Beit Hillel, the Rabbi Yochanan's got another Stam Mishnah, and who's the Stam Mishnah? Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. So it appears that, and I think I actually saw a note over here, that maybe it's a Rashi, Stam Achrina, look at Rashi, yeah. It says here, Beit Hillel Chashiv Kastama. When Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah, he put Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, so Beit Hillel is Stama. Why Beit Hillel Stama? Because there's no Beit Hillel, there's no individual called Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel is a camp. There's the Beit Midrash. So if we explained in Rashi previously that the whole idea of Stam is that we don't have a Da'at Yachid over here, that you could end up saying, that's a Da'at Yachid and I've got a Da'at Rabbi who's contends with that Da'at Yachid, the concept of Beit Hillel is also, there's no Da'at Yachid here. So if Rabbi writes Beit Hillel, it's the same concept as the Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan's got another Stam Mishnah which holds that there isn't Muktzah, where Beit Hillel is passing out, and we pass halacha like Beit Hillel. The Gemara now mentions like this, Pliga Rav, now while we're discussing over here, halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, Pliga Bar Rav Acha V'Ravina. Right, the question now is, this idea here of halacha like Rabbi Hillel and Rabbi Shimon, how far do we extend this concept of halacha like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon? Is it only in Muktzah? We saw here that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Chisron Kis, we said. Or is it across the board in all the mitzvot that I mentioned? Dava Shana Mit Kavein, Meloch Shana Shechel Gufa, etc. So it's like the speaking of Rabbi Achav Ravina, Chad Amar, B'chol HaShabbat, Kula Halacha Rabbi Shimon. What does Amoraim say? In every concept of Halacha, when it comes to Machloket on Hilchot Shabbos, Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Levar Mi Muktze Machmat Mius. Other than Muktze Machmat Mius. What is Muktze Machmat Mius? Since before, remember? Something is disgusting. Like we saw the other day with a blood letter, with an ashashit, remember? We had an example the other day, we had an ashashit, and I said, ashashit is normally a lantern, and I mentioned the psychometric testing, remember? We said the ashashit, and we saw the Gemara explain what's ashashit. Ashashit there, or we had not ashashit, sorry, there was something else. It was the piece of glass, like the karne de umna, remember? We had the karne de umna. So there was mukta, the glass there. Why we asked the question, how come we have to worry about letting the saddlebags drop off the animal if it's got glass in it? The glass is kalim, we can use kalim on mukta. We can go and take them off the animal ourselves. And we said, no, karna de umna. Those were like the test tubes of the blood letters, remember? And we said, because they're disgusting, they're mukta. That's a case of mukta machmat mius. Okay? So here he says, my nihu. What's an example of machmat nihus? A ner yashan, an old candle. It's like an old candle. It's not recommend you got these like clay candles full of oil and it's all disgusting. No one's going to want to touch it. Therefore, it becomes muktzah. Even if it isn't got lit at the moment, not got fire now, it's not muktzah, it hasn't got a candle burning at the moment. Another example. Right, v'chad amar, so that's one amora. One amora says that everywhere Halacha Shabbos is like Rabbi Shimon, other than muktzah machmat mius, where there he would say it's okay, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's asur, and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. And the other amora, we're not sure which one of these it was, Rav Acha or Ravina, v'chad amar, b'muktzah machmat mius, nami Halacha Rabbi Shimon. He says, no, you got it wrong. Even there Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So everything's like Rabbi Shimon, even machmat mius, but there is one exception, l'barbi muktzah machmat isur. Mukta machmat isur is if something is asur, for example, a television is machmat isur, right? So the Gemara says, "Umay nihu." What's an example of machmat isur? Ner shehidliko ba ba'otah Shabbat. So the candle is busy burning now on Shabbos at the moment. That candle, it's asur to touch that candle. There's a fire, there's a flame, there's a candle. You can't touch it. It's proper mukta. That even Rabbi the halacha will be like Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Yehuda. Ava mukta machmat chisron kis. Afir Rabbi Shimon mode. He says, but so now this Tana says that in the machloket, the halacha is always like Rabbi Shimon, other than machmat isur. And he says, no, the halacha is not like a machloket Rabbi Shimon with machmat chisaron kis. It's because there, sorry. But with regards to machmat chisaron kis, there Rabbi Shimon even agrees with Rabbi Huna that it's mukta. What's machmat chisaron kis? We say something really expensive. For example, if you've got an expensive painting, or you've got an antique, or something like that, it would be machmat chisron kis. And there we got a Mishnah that proves it. No, kol hakelim di mishabbat. Here, all the kelim you can take on Shabbos, there's nothing's mukta. Chutz mi masara gadol, the big saw, the yetech of machresha, and like the teeth of a plow tool. And while those mukta, look at Rashi, chutz mi masara gadol, megirashi leumanin, the kutz ba'etim, like a woodcutter saw. So now he said, because they're the teeth are very properly prepared, and we carefully only break the teeth off of the saw, so the artisans are very particular about their goods. So as an example of chisron kis, and the yatecho machresha, hachofer takarka, right? Kat miluaz also again, right? The blades of the plow shed, of the plow tool. Again, they're very careful about these things. So bottom line is, end by via machloket. Do we say that Rabbi Shimon agrees with chisron kis? Does he agree with mius? Does he agree with isur? We've got a couple of machloket around there. But bottom line is, it appears over here that all of them agree halacha across the board on Shabbos like Rabbi Shimon, except for a couple of exceptions. And we saw, as a rule, I think there was the halacha, although the Rambam does pass in the case like Rabbi Yehuda, so it's not exactly 100% clear cut of who the halacha is. Okay, now we come to our last Mishnah of the Masechta. And I'll be honest with you, I racked my brain last night and this morning of what this Mishnah is doing here. I don't know. We'll see what. I cannot lie, right? I have a bit of an uncomfortable feeling, a bit of a letdown for me, an anticlimax here of the Masechet. But anyhow, maybe at the Siyum, whatever Baruch will say a few, maybe we'll set some light. Shed some light on what this is doing here. But the Mishnah says like this, Mefirin Darim B'Shabbat. So now the concept of Hafarat Neder, right? There's a whole Masechta on this, so we're not going to go into it in too much detail. But there's two types, there's Hafarat Nedarim and Hatarat Nedarim or Hashalat Nedarim. In the Torah, the Pasuk in the Torah, the Makorah is for Hafarat Nedarim. That's either the husband or the father, b'yom shom'o, right? The father or the husband, if a woman's married, either her father or her husband, on the day that he hears the neder, if it's a neder that's particularly relating to something between them in their relationship, they can annul that neder on the spot, okay, on the day. We'll see just in a second, what is the day? Is it 24 hours, or is it only till nightfall, or whatever? So that's a pasuk, right? That's a pasuk that a husband or a father can mefer the neder b'yom shomo. The Mishnah expands here to speak about hatarat nedarim. So we've got meferin nedarim b'shabbat. A father or a husband can do hafarat nedarim, right? Rashi says, ba'al l'ishto. He says husband to his wife, but it's a father as well. V'nish'alin nedarim. Nish'alin, you mean you go to a chacham or to beitin. say you made a neder now, you got a doubt. We learned in Masechet Nedarim, you got to basically come to the Chacham and say, had I understood the implications of that neder, I would never have made the neder. He looks for a petach to open you and to annul the neder and let you off the neder. Right? So, Hatarat Nedarim, the Mishnah says, V'nishalin Nedarim she'en etzorech ha-Shabbat. Only on Shabbos for things that relate to Shabbos. Rashi says, Kagon she'nadar she'lo le'chol hayom. You got a neder not eat, and it's asur not eat on Shabbos. You got to eat on Shabbos. You got a neder. So you got to go to a Chacham, and he will matir the neder. That's really a Rabbanan, by the way. It's based on Asmachtas that a Chacham can also do it. But like I said, the Makor from the Torah is for hafara, for a father or for a husband. U'pokakir ma'or over here, you can cover up a window. Rashi says, Rabbanan, the Amrei, that was supposed to daf kuf kafe, pokakin pkak ha'chalon. Remember there we had a machloket whether the pekak had to be connected with the cable, and could the cable be touching the ground or not touching the ground. Remember that was a case of boneh. It was already connected before Shabbos, it wasn't boneh, and if the cable touched the ground, it could look like it wasn't connected. Remember all of that? Anybody remember that? We discussed that, right? So you can do pokeket amaor, u'modedinit amidlit means to measure the size of the cloth. Rashi says, shetehe shalosh al shalosh etzbot, kagon imayta temeya v'naga betarot. Cloth, right? Wool or linen cloth, right? Tzemer or pishtan. If it's less than 3 by 3 fingers, smaller than this, koma kabel tuma. So now on Shabbos, if there was a cloth over there, and there was somebody who was tamei, used the cloth and then touched the food or touched somebody with then sitting together, etc., and they were tahorim, and you want to see now, was their cloth at the time of the negia? Was it 3 by 3? Is the person tamei or not tamei? Is the food tamei or not tamei? You can measure the size of their cloth. As a rule, you can't do measurings on Shabbos because it's uvdin dechol. It's weekday stuff. Look at Rashi. So umaradine tam mikveh, and you can measure the mikveh, right? There is a Rashi over here. Right before that, well, in a mikveh, b'mida sheyesham amok shalosh amot mayim v'rochav amalama. You want to make sure that's at least the minimum size that you can go into the mikveh on Shabbos. You can check it. As we sing over here, when it comes to mitzvahs, we're a bit more making on medida, right? Well, in a mikveh, u'maseh v'may aviv shrabi tzadok. And there's a Gemara brings a story over here in the Mishnah of a story with Rabbi, the father Rabbi Tzadok, b'mei Abba Shaul ben Bitnit, during his time, she'pakaku et ha-ma'or betafiach. The Gemara afterwards, we'll end off today with this story. It's a bit of a difficult story. What's going on over here? They closed up the window betafiach. What's a tafiach? Rashi says a tafiach is pach shel cheris. So it's like a pach, some sort of like a jar or a jug or a piece, or I'm not exactly what it is, but it's made of cheris. And it's shura betafiach, memarin ba b'shabbos. So they filled up, they blocked up the window with this tafiach. It's made of cheres, remember? V'kishru et ha-mekide b'gemi, and this kli cheres, they tied up with gemi. Gemi aviyah is like a top of a, from the tree, right? In other words, it's not a kabel tuma. Le'da im yesh v'kishru et ha-mekide b'gemi, le'da im yesh b'gigit poteach tefach im lav. To see if in this bucket, there was a hole that was called a poteach tefach. It was a tefach al tefach, right? A big enough hole. We'll see that. That's a big enough hole that the tumor goes out of. So if, for example, you got a mate and you've got him over in an ohel. So we now know the halacha that everything in the room becomes tameh mate. But what if there's a hole in the wall or in the roof, which is a tafiach, a bigger of a tefach, and the mate is under that hole, so then the tumor will go straight through the hole and won't make the room tameh. Okay? So you can measure on Shabbos that to see was there tafiach, tefach, tafiach, was it big enough to the metame the place or not? We'll come to that just now and see what's going on over here. The Gemara Mishnah says, umidivrehem lamadnu, we understand from this behavior over here of the maaseh b'mei Abba Shaul ben Bitnit with Aviv Shrabi Tzadok, etc., right? Shepokekin, that you can close up a window, umodedin, and you can measure, Rashi says here over here, shepokekin, umoradin lehitlamed al davar hora to find out if the halacha etc. The koshrin b'shabbat and you can tie Rashi b'shabbos and he especially mentions here kesher she'eino shel kayama, right? A non permanent knot afil lechatchila, even lechatchila. Okay, even not but the eved that you shouldn't have tied, but even a chilin gan tie, not like we do our shulas with a bow. Okay, let's get into the Gemara. So now the Gemara asks a question. Yibai Eleu, question was asked in the Beit Midrash. Hafara, when we said over here, mefirin the darim on Shabbos, that a husband or a father can mefir his daughter or wife's the darim on Shabbos, is it bein netzorech or vein netzorech? Is it make no difference if it is, because we saw there, remember, nish'alin, with regards to hashalat, to a chacham, was only with regards to tzorech Shabbos. For hafara, with a husband, we made no distinction between letzorech Shabbos or not letzorech Shabbos. So he says, yeah, hafara bein letzorech u bein shlo letzorech, v'sheila letzorech in shlo letzorech lo, exactly like we understood so far. And why? U'mishum hachi kepargininu mehadade. And that's why the Mishnah separated them, made them two different halochas. Or Dilma, or maybe not. Maybe hafara nami letzorech in shlo letzorech lo. That really hafara is you can also only do for your wife if it's letzorech Shabbos. So if it's the same halacha, that both hafara and both she'ela are only letzorech, so why did the Mishnah write them as two separate? Why didn't it just say there hafara v'she'ela b'shabbat letzorech? Why didn't it write it like as one halacha? Right? Mishum the hafara ain't tzarich beitin v'she'ela tshicha beitin, because telling us from the outset, remember that they're two different functions and two different processes. Hafara is just the husband on the spot, and hashalah, he has to go to Beitin or to a chacham. And therefore, we wrote them separately, they're not the same. But in essence, they really can only be done on Shabbos if it's Latorah Shabbos. That's the one question. So the Gemara, so that's the question. The Gemara brings a brighter, Toshma. See, just look at Rashi very quickly. The she'elah letzorich in shelo letzorich lo. Why is she'elah letzorich in shelo letzorich lo with she'elah? Because she'elah the yachol yishel machar. Because a husband can only, remember I mentioned the pasuk there says ubayom shom'o. The husband can only do hafara on the day that he hears the nedir. If he didn't do it today and he waits till tomorrow, it's history. He can't do it. So therefore, maybe for the husband, because he's limited in time, we say to him, you know what, even if it's not regarding Shabbos, do it now, otherwise you've missed the boat. But with a regular Shayla, why miss the boat? If it's regarding Shabbos, so we have to do it today. But if it's not regarding Shabbos, there's no time limit on Shashalah. You can go to a Beit Din tomorrow, go to a Chacham tomorrow, next week, 3 weeks' time, in a month's time, in a year's time. So therefore, we'd allow you to do it only on Shabbos if it's a Torah Shabbos. But with a husband and a wife, it has to be today, otherwise you've missed the boat. Right? That's what Rashi says. Right? So now the Gemara gives an answer. Toshma. The Tani Zuta de Beira Papa. Right? Mefiri Nedarim B'Shabbat Letorech HaShabbat. Letorech HaShabbat in Shelo Letorech HaShabbat Lo. So his answer is yes. It's all to do only with regard to Shabbos. And therefore, what do we see from that? See from that, that if it isn't with regards to your Shabbos, and the husband heard his wife make a neder today, and it's not Shabbos related, it's finished, he's missed the boat. You can only do hafara on Shabbos, but what's to do with Shabbos? So Gemara says, there's another way, another version of this was asked, another lashon over here. Ibai Eleu, the question was asked by Midrash. Letzorech atarvayu ketani, v'shelo letzorech lo. Right? It was letzorech, they were both learned. Both, Rashi says over here, letravayu, right? A hafara v'hashala, both hafara and hashala. Aber hafara shelo letzorech lo.
There's
an interesting machloket over here. Remember, I said it. The word Bayom Shom'o, that definition of Bayom Shom'o, the day that you heard it, is it until nightfall? Because we want it on the day. It was during Bayom Shom'o, literally Bayom, on the day that you heard it. And therefore, once Tzadakot Chavim is passed, it's over. Or is it me'et late, a 24-hour period? If it's a 24-hour period, and she made a neder at 12 o'clock this morning, or this afternoon at lunchtime, so then if it's not related to Shabbos, why let him may fare the neder today? He's got another 12 hours after nightfall. He's got till 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So Motzei Shabbos, he can do the hafara. So then we'll say, no, it's also, that's what he's saying over here. If we're saying here that it is only letzorech, we're assuming we're not going to stick the husband in a pickle and say you've lost the boat. Right? That seems a bit unfair. Therefore, we must mean that the Biyom Shomo is the 24 hours. Or Diomo, maybe no. Ki ketani, when we learned Letzorech, that only regarding Shabbos, Ashelahu diktani, it's specific to Sheila, the Beitin. Aval Afrat Nedarim, but Afilu Shelo Letzorech. And then we'll say even Afrat Nedarim can be done on Shabbos Lo Letzorech. And why would we be forced to say that? We're going to say the husband's only limited to Biyom Shomo. Alma Hafrat Nedarim Kol Hayom. Kol Hayom means Rashi Ad SheTechshach VeTulo. No later than that, only until it gets dark. So we got two ways. The first way of asking the question was: do we make a distinction between the two of them? Yes or no? And the reason that we make a difference is because one's talking about Tzorech, and one says no. They're both the Lord of Tzorech. The reason we made the distinction over there was because the one's a Beit Din and one's the Baal. Otherwise, they're both the Lord of Tzorech, and therefore the husband is stuck. The next Lashon of the Gemara was a different question. The Gemara is now being more sensitive to the fact. How can we say the husband's stuck? Because he's limited in time. So if we say it's only Letzorech Shabbos, it means he's not limited. We can even allow him after Shabbos. If we say that it's not limited to only Shabbos, why are we being so generous on Shabbos and allowing other things? Because there is a limit only till nightfall. Okay? That's the two ways of answering this question. The Gemara now brings the answer. Toshma. The Tani again, Rav Zutta Devei Rav Papi, Mefiri Nedari B'Shabbat Letzorech Shabbat. The same answer we gave earlier on. So if it's only Letzorech Shabbat, then what? Letzorech HaShabbat, eat Letzorech HaShabbat law. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, Alma Hafarat Nedarim Me'eit Le'eit. So I think I actually skipped that law answer previously. You know that. In the Nishna Achrina, Ibai Letzorech HaTravak Zayin Shlo Le'eit 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 or Dil Mek Zayin. Sorry. That's the answer. No, I never skipped anything. And therefore, the answer over here is Hafrat Nedarim Me'eit Le'eit. Okay. So now we understand the whole concept of why we got this in the Mishnah. Most like it's Amar Rav Ashi. Vaha Anan Tnan. But you're telling me now that according to that, it comes out that Hafrat Nedarim is only Me'eit Le'eit. Sorry, it's 24 hours, 8 Le'eit. But didn't we learn in the Mishnah? And he quotes the Mishnah of Ema Sechet Nedarim. Hafrat Nedarim. Kol Hayom. Remember, Kol Hayom means only like Rashi said, Ad SheTechshach. In other words, you could add in here, Rak Kol Hayom, only during the day, proper daytime, not nighttime. V'yesh b'davar l'hakel u'l'achmir. And really, there's a Kula here and a Chumra here. What's the Kula? What's the Chumra? Right, if you look at Rashi over here, l'hakel u'l'achmir, klomar pa'amim she'esh shahut gado. Sometimes there's lots of time. And therefore, it's a relative halacha. This it's not a 24 hours. 24 hours would be absolute, subjective. We say no, this is relative. Our object is relative. Kate and how? Nadra lele Shabbat. If a woman made a neder at Leil Shabbos on Friday night, mefer lele Shabbat v'yom Shabbat ad shetechshach. So he's basically got the whole of Shabbos because we got b'yom Shomo b'yom. He heard it at night as part of the day until the end of Shabbos. So he's got a whole of Shabbos to do it. Nadra im chashecha, right? But if she made a neder right mamash before it's getting dark, it's tzudash lishit. So mefer ad shelo techshach. He can only do it until it's not dark yet. Shim lo efer mishe chashecha, eino yachol lafer. Can't do it. Ois, the guy's missed the boat. So Rashi says, how can you explain this previous example here? According to this Rabbi Zutta Devei Rav Papi, meferin is, we learned, it's meit late. And yeah, we've got a Mishnah over here in Masechet Nedarim, which says that it's not Beit Late, right? That it's until the end of the night. So the Gemara said Tanaim, Machloket Tanaim. The Tanya, Hafrat Nedarim Kol Hayom. Tanakama says Hafrat Nedarim Kol Hayom, meaning daytime. Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Amru Me'eit Le'eit. Okay, so we see that actually the one Mishnah is going like the one set of Tanaim. And the other Mishnah, which we learned about Rabbi Zati, is Azuti Bar Rav Papi over here. He's got another set of Tanaim, and everything will work out fine. So now we go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says over here, V'nishalin nedarim she'en letzorech HaShabbat. Right? V'nisharin nedarim. Ubay elayu. Kashi was asked about Midrash. This all Gemara's in Nedarim. Kashelo ayalo pnai. Or Dilma afilu ayalo pnai. What do we mean over here? We're saying when we're now limiting the question that you are to ask a chacham or a beitin, right, to things which are relating to Shabbos. So So Gemara's question is, the Beit Midrash, I wanted to know, are we allowing him to go to the Chacham now and ask a question on Shabbos? Why? He should have gone Erev Shabbos. Why did he leave it till Shabbos in the first place? Ah, so maybe we allow him to do it when he never had time Erev Shabbos. He was very busy, he never had a moment free, and therefore objectively just couldn't get there, and because of the ruining Shabbos, he can go now. But if he had time and he was a button, he was on the beach on a Friday, in other words, when he comes to the Chacham says to him, tell me, mister, where were you yesterday afternoon? He said, oh, no, I was at the beach. So then I'm interested to go home. Or do we say, no, what do we care, beach, not beach? You know, it doesn't make it, it's not limited to the fact that he couldn't have done it yesterday, he could have done it yesterday. That's the Gemara's question. Toshma, where's the writer? Da az de kiku le rabban and rav zutra bereid rav zaira. So the Rav Zera, Rav Zutra Bereid Rav Zera came to Rabbanan to undo a neder, v'sharulei nadre, right, and they led him off the neder, v'af agav t'havelei p'nai, even though he had a lot of time on his hands. So we see over here that it's not limited to only if you've got time, you haven't got time. Irrespective of what it is, inyanei de Shabbos, you can do shayla on Shabbos. Okay, now we're carrying the Mishnah. The Mishnah said over there, "Shepakaku et ha-ma'or betafiach v'kishu et ha-mekeda begemi." They filled up this bucket. They closed up the window with this tafiach, which actually was made of cheres of earthenware, right? And they tied this kli into the pot with the gemi from the tree stuff. The gemi, what's gemi is like the rubber, like the rubber of a tree, I think it is, right? Like, that's my kabel tumah, that's the idea. What do you guys say, Steve? In the Mishnah, we saw over there, so they tied this whole thing up. So now, the Gemara explains what the story is. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Hilketis, the Rashi says, is the shvil, and we saw the picture there from Michael, that it's like two houses, like in the Arab market, imagine, very tightly up one together with a narrow path, and on the roof between them, like on the walls separating, is like this big bucket, which is forming like a covering to walk under. Right, there's Hilketik Batim, Vetuma Etasham. And there was Tuma there. What do you mean Tuma? Right, we saw there, Tuma was there. There was like other, probably a dead body. There's this long Tosfot over here. See this long Tosfot Hilketi? He argues with Rashi a lot here. There's Rashi and Chananel have different versions. Tosfot argues with both. It doesn't act like it's a dead body. He says more to a piece of meat. But it's a bit complicated, but I'm not going into the Tosfot now. But so he said, there's Tuma Etasham. There was Tuma right in this path, right? The gigit stuka munachat al gaban, and there's this big bucket, like we saw, a very big bucket, with a crack in the bucket. Right, the crack is relevant. There's a crack in the bucket, hole in the bucket, and the bucket is right over the dead body where it is. Got the picture? Got these two walls. You got a bucket on top of the walls, dead body under the bucket, and the bucket's got a hole in. And now there are windows in the houses. Okay, now. Just two words of background. You know what? Let's look at the Rashi Avia. V'gigit stuka munachat al gabav. Look at Rashi Avia. V'hamet mutal behilketi tachat agigit. Rashi says, and the dead body is lying now on this path under the bucket, keneged asedek, right beneath where the crack in the bucket is. V'lifnei motamet, just before the body of the guy died. In other words, they imagine there's a body there lying on the floor and it's about to die and it's gosses and like the body is starting to... have all those, what's it called, like when the body starts convulsing, right? And they see it's about to die. Someone quickly runs up there and says, wait a second, there's a hole in the bucket. There are these windows. We don't want to make our whole house tame now, right? And as far as Shabbos, and they can't move the body, let's assume, right? It's Shabbos, obviously, we're talking about Shabbos, and they can't move the body, it's muktzah, it's about to die. So they quickly don't want to get the tumah. If the bucket now is a sealed bucket, then there's the walls and there's windows over here on the houses. The tumah will go up, be stopped by the bucket. It can't get anywhere, so it will mitpashet through the windows into the houses. And the house will become basically one big house, and everything in the house will become tameh. If, on the other hand, the bucket is a big enough hole in it, which is a tofeach tefach, and the tumah is right underneath it, the tumah just goes shoop straight through the hole and misses out the houses. Or
this
the tefach
kicks the bucket.
This is when he kicks the bucket, right? Right? But now if the tefach, if the hole isn't big enough, then the tumah will go into the houses. They closed up the window with cheres. Why cheres? Because we know that cheres is not tamei migabo, remember? Cheres can't become tamei from the outside. Cheres is only tamei avir kli cheres. It has to be a receptacle with avir kli cheres. So by putting cheres on the window, they stopped any tumor that would come up would basically just bounce off the window. Right? Tumor is the best reflector for tumor. Cheres, the best reflector for tumor. That's the story over there. Look at Rashi. They closed up this window with this tafiach, which is cheres. Why? Because if there wasn't a big enough hole in that gigit, it would turn out that the mate is mamash under ohel now. The tumor's got nowhere to go up, can't escape like smoke through a chimney. And if there's a big enough hole that's a meloy grof, a fist size in the walls on the sides, the tumor would go up looking for a place to get out. It can't get out because there's a bucket on the top. That hole is less than a tefach. So it would spread into the rooms, into the walls where there are holes that are the size of an egrof. So they covered up the wall with this tafiach. They cover the window with a kli cheres. The gavor keneged ahilkit, and the back. So they took a kli cheres, let's say a proper kli cheres, and they put it like this, facing in the house, and the back of the kli cheres is facing outside, and tumah doesn't metame the back of a kli cheres. Right? Look at that keneged ahilkit. The kli cheres enu metame mi gavor v'chotzetz, stops the tumah from coming in. That's the story over here. Look back in the Gemara. Gigit stuka b'nachal gaban v'pakaku etam ol betafiach. Why did they put this kli into the bucket? Leida im yesham begigit poteach tefach im lav. Because this kli was big enough, was the size of a tefach. If the kli would go through the gigit, they'd know that the hole in the gigit was big enough of a tefach, and the tomb would go up. Or it wasn't, therefore, they'd have to do all these things over here. Part leave, I mean, if you're making a sium. So, Ula Iklele Barash Galuta, Ula Rav Rash Galuta's house. Chazia Rabbi Barav Huna, the Yati of the Demaya. So he sees Rav Huna over there. He says, Rabbi Barav Huna, he says he sees him sitting over there in a bucket of water. Rashi says, Yabigigit Mela Maim, in a bucket full of water. The Tosfot says over here, Ba'av the Demaya, Ambati Shal Maim. So, Chachpresh Baruch. So, Aruch explains, Ambati. Right? And, So the Mishnah brings it there as well, that they're sitting in a bucket of water, in a bath, like in a bath of water. And he's right? And he basically seems like he's busy doing things in the bath. So he says, Amar le, Amar dam rabbanan medida de mitzvah. And we understand that you can be in a mikvah on Shabbos, right? To measure a mikvah, Chachamim say you for medida of mitzvah. But the love mitzvah mi amur, but looks like he's busy there in the bath, in this bath doing something. So if not a mitzvah, what you do to measure stuff? He says, mit asek ba'amana. He says, I'm just being mit asek. What's mit asek? Mi rashi shirol tzorich ele isukai ba'amistam, for no reason whatsoever. Right? So therefore, if you're sitting in the bath and you're counting the sides, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but you aren't really counting because you want to see how long it is, right? Just done because you're counting. And we said already, we learned it plenty times in Masechta that mit asek is patur, and therefore he's got no real purpose in measuring there. He's actually measuring for the stum for it, no big deal whatsoever. Adran lach mi sheichshich v'slich ala Masechta Shabbos. Adran lach mi sheichshich v'slich ala Masechta Shabbos. Adran lach mi sheichshich v'slich ala Masechta Shabbos.